Election Night in Minnesota continues on News Radio 830 WCCO, WCCO HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The races in most battleground states remain very close, but CBS News now estimates Hillary Clinton will win running mate Tim Kaine's home state of Virginia, while Donald Trump will take Ohio. The other battlegrounds are all toss-ups. One of them is Nevada. CBS News polling analyst Fred Backus joins us live with a closer look.
Bill, despite an estimated lead in early voting for Hillary Clinton in Nevada, Hispanic turnout at 18% is even with what it was in 2012. And while 6 in 10 Hispanic voters in Nevada are breaking for Clinton, that's less than the 7 in 10 who voted for Barack Obama 4 years ago. Donald Trump is winning all white non-college voters and white men regardless of education, while white women with college degrees are evenly divided between Clinton and Trump.
CBS News now estimates that Donald Trump is likely to win Florida and will win Ohio. Hillary Clinton will win California. The candidate supporters are waiting nervously in New York. We go live first to Clinton headquarters and correspondent Steve Futterman.
And Bill, the mood here, one of growing concern. There was a big cheer just a few moments ago when California was given to Hillary Clinton, but that was really a state she was expected to win. This Clinton supporter admits she's surprised but still confident.
Well, I expected a landslide, but I think she's still going to win.
And not even nervous.
No, because I think I have faith in the people.
Clinton supporters here now closely watching results from two states, Michigan and Pennsylvania. For a report from the Trump headquarters a few blocks away, let's go live to CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
The cheers keep getting louder here at Donald Trump's path to the presidency grows easier by the hour. Supporters have heard for days Clinton would likely claim the White House. Instead, Trump again is defying predictions as he has since announcing his candidacy. A tweeted picture shows him and family members with eyes wide open watching the results roll in exactly the way he hoped, with angry white workers turning out in droves. It's not over by any means, but it couldn't be going any better for Donald Trump. Bill?
The entire House of Representatives and a third of the Senate are in play. Correspondent Steve Dorsey is following those races.
Bill, the battle for Democrats to regain control of Congress just got more difficult. CBS News projects Republicans will retain control of the House. In the Senate, Democrats still aren't projected to win a key battleground race yet, losing in North Carolina now. Indiana and Florida, their only shining star, Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth, ousting Mark Kirk in Illinois.
No matter who you voted for today, we are all in this together.
Several key races still toss-ups, Bill.
Dow futures have plunged more than 700 points on the prospect that Trump might win. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
This is really not on anything except for anxiety. And as soon as we started to see that Florida was tightening and none of these swing states were called in Hillary Clinton's favor, all of a sudden the conventional wisdom on Wall Street started to shift.
This is CBS News.
Is Election Night in Minnesota, sponsored by Hamline University on News Radio 830 WCCO and WCCO.com.
We are back with you at 10:03. Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Jordana Green, Brian McClung, Catherine Tanucci, and Blois Olson. Donald Trump is the story of the night, as you just heard from CBS. We will get back to that major storyline. But Adam Carter, it's early in Minnesota, but what is the major storyline so far early with the voting finishing up a couple hours ago?
Yeah, well, just on that note, we've Associated Press has called the 3rd Congressional District Eric Paulson winning re-election over Terry Bonoff. But obviously, you said all eyes on the presidential race, but we've got some congressional seats in question here, a local House and Senate seats up for grabs. We start tonight with what has to be a subdued party, to put it lightly, in downtown Minneapolis at DFL headquarters. WCCO's Edgar Linares is there. He begins our coverage tonight. Edgar, go ahead.
Well, party leaders, Adam, just not talking at this point right now. I tried to have a conversation with Ken Martin. They said at this point they're just going to hunker down and just going to wait to see what happens, and then they'll probably come out and start talking with the media. Now, the tension can be felt in this ballroom as state-by-state a winner is projected for the presidential race. Now, Ken Martin did speak with us before things got going here. He said he was on pins and needles, but still optimistic.
For me, it's a really emotional night. I've been with Hillary Clinton for a long time. I was the first party chair in the nation to endorse her, and the only one to serve on her finance committee. So it's a really exciting night. Be a little emotional when she finally wins this presidential race tonight.
Now, in Minneapolis, no surprise, Congressman Keith Ellison will remain in office. He's won his re-election bid for the fifth time. Live in downtown Minneapolis, Edgar Linares, WCCO. We now go to WCCO Susie Jones at the Mall of America with the Republican Party.
Edgar, cheers tonight as various states being called for Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States of America. Of course, not all the states reporting yet, but with me live right now here at the Republican Party at the Radisson Blue at the Mall of America is Chris Fields. He is deputy chair of the Republican Party in Minnesota. Chris, a joyful night for a lot of people, would you say?
Absolutely. I think that so far everything has gone our way. We haven't had any bad news with regard to the presidential. We're still keeping our eye focused on our local congressional district races. Jason Lewis and Stuart Mills look to be doing real good right now.
I know Tom Emmer was up a short time ago. He won again. In the state and House, in the Minnesota legislature, I understand David Hand lost, or it looks like he's going to lose. That's got to be a disappointment.
That's a true disappointment. I think that David Hand was one of the true leaders who spoke his mind and was very true to the people that he served in the district and throughout Minnesota. And so if that projection holds up, he will certainly be missed for sure.
Great. Thank you for your time so much, Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
Again, that's Chris Fields, deputy chair of the Minnesota Republican Party, reporting live in Bloomington. Susie Jones, WCCO.
All right, Susie, thanks very much. 10:06 also, Ilhan Omar set to become the nation's first Somali American legislator following a decisive win in the state's District 60B. A 34-year-old has lived in Minnesota since she was 12, immigrating to the States after the Somali Civil War pushed her family.
Giving Catherine something to be excited about.
Thank God. Right. That's that one in little doubt, but certainly a significant development there tonight.
The storyline there was when she won the primary against Phyllis Kahn. So let's start this way, Blois, with some of the projections nationwide. Now we're going to the presidential race because they might all get to the same point, but it's taking a while to get there. It was Fox about 15 to 20 minutes ago. They called North Carolina. A few other of the outlets have, but not all have done that. Florida, AP, Washington Post, you guys tell me, is anybody else calling Florida so far? Maybe a few others, but
CBS did.
CBS has, but CNN has not. Fox has called for Florida. It's interesting right now, Blois, the numbers, the teams. We think back to 2000. We think back to the back and forth. Obviously, there was so much scrutiny about this. How different do you think it is from the prominent newspapers to the prominent networks to the prominent cable outlets, how they're arriving at the right data to make that call?
Well, they're dealing with real data right now. They're dealing with real votes. And
when they get it is different? Is that the idea?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think when they get it is different, where it's from. For instance, we're watching Wisconsin and Michigan right now. We know that the Madison area is still out in Wisconsin. We know the Detroit area is still out in Michigan. So they're watching where these votes are coming from.
Yes.
I think the key here is these have all been battleground states, Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Trump hasn't lost any that he couldn't lose.
Correct.
And Clinton hasn't been declared the winner in any she has to win. And so, like Pennsylvania, I think people thought would be called for her a little earlier.
Yes.
It hasn't been. Michigan, probably people thought it would be called earlier. It hasn't been.
So let's stay there for a second, okay, on that point, because it's a very valid point. That right now, the momentum is clearly on his side for the path of victory. But Pennsylvania is still undecided. Michigan is undecided. For him to win, he had to win one of those.
Yes.
She still, is it fair to say right now that she still has more viable options to win the presidency than he does? It's not as many as she had at the start of the night. That's clear. But if you had to say who you'd rather be at this point, would you still rather be Hillary Clinton?
I think you would. And I think it is going to come down to Pennsylvania or Michigan. If she keeps those and we start to go, I think Brian made a great point earlier. This might come down to Nevada. And there's already been a lawsuit or two filed by the Trump campaign in Nevada.
About, just listen to me, folks, this happened today. They suggested that in the early voting, when people were still in line after the polling closed, that they should not have been allowed to vote. The judge has initially said, because they were in line already,
they can vote.
That's allowed. Brian, you chime in on this. They came back and said, we just wanted those votes documented. We wanted them pointed out, so if we would challenge, we would have them in a separate area. Who knows where we're going on some of these races being as close as they're going to on challenges, because the idea that the Clinton folks wouldn't also raise the specter of polling questions.
Oh, they've got the greatest lawyers in America, yes. Right, on the tarmac, ready to go whenever they need
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
David Boies has his briefcase packed, and he is ready to go, right?
And he's saying, I lost in 2000. Yeah. I'm not losing
Mark Elias, who lived in Minnesota for a while during the Franken recount, right? These guys are ready to go. And somebody on Twitter, now this is not, you know, Jordana's three sources. I'm just going to say, read what I read on Twitter.
Yeah,
they're saying that.
Be careful! I know, there's lots of lunatics.
I'm not a journalist, so I can just say whatever. You know, they're saying that there
welcome
are
welcome to WCCO's coverage.
Yes, there are people still.
I'll hold down the fort over here.
Yes, you're not hearing from an actual journalist now, just a pundit.
Yeah,
there are, according to somebody on Twitter, there are people still in line in Detroit. So the polls have closed, but if you're still in line, you get to vote. So, you know, don't count out these states yet. Yep. There may be votes still being cast even after the, you know, quote unquote polls close.
Okay, so the same question to you and then to Catherine next. Who would you rather be at this point as we sit here at 10-11 with Trump, according to multiple outlets, winning Florida, winning North Carolina? Michigan is extraordinarily close. Pennsylvania is extraordinarily close, and we don't know what's going to happen yet. Who would you rather be with Nevada still out there as a huge state to watch? And as Blois has pointed out multiple times, potentially Wisconsin.
Well, at this stage of the game, if you're a political operative, you would say you would rather want to be with Donald Trump because he has the momentum. He is overperforming. He is winning states that nobody expected him to win. He's winning states where he pulled behind in virtually every poll that was taken in that state. And so he is the one who has the unforeseen momentum.
Yep.
And so you want to be that person because that, if that can carry forward, right? And all, we're, again,
Florida was pretty close though, right?
Florida was close.
The bigger one is North Carolina right now, because in most of those, she had not a huge lead, but she had more of the leads, right?
Sure. But he won Ohio, you know, by a bigger margin than I think you might guess.
Fair.
Right. And that Michigan is in the hunt like this is an issue. So I think that just on the basis of momentum, you would look at it and say you'd rather be at Trump headquarters right now.
Catherine?
I mean, momentum on election night is a nice story. We're all watching cable news. We're all listening to the radio. That's fine. But I would still rather be Hillary Clinton looking at the options she has to get to 270. I think that hearing that if there's people still in line in Detroit, that's good news for her, right? In the urban part of the state, the cities, they're going to, you know, that's more votes for Hillary. And if she can hold on to Michigan and Pennsylvania, that's, she'll be president. Like that is what she needs to do now. To win Florida earlier tonight would have been nice, sure,
yep.
But that is not what she needs.
She, let's put it this way, she didn't have to win Florida.
No,
she had to win Florida.
She has a path outside of that.
He had to win North Carolina. He had to win Ohio. Jordan, I think something to watch on social media, too, is going to be the Detroit Free Press. I want to emphasize this again. And, Adam, you were the first person to tell me this. 2 hours ago, they called Michigan for her. These are solid reporters who know Michigan extraordinarily well. They called that for Hillary Clinton. No other outlet has called that so far. I mean, that is something to watch because it's so rare for any outlet of that credibility to pull something back. We're going to have to watch and see what they do the rest of the night. You know, and Adam, just on that point.
Yeah, I mean, and especially, you know, with these reports of voters still in lines and how that is going to, I mean, that we've been talking too about, okay, the possibility for not only just claims of not a rigged election, but a fraudulent election. We've got people waiting in lines for this long. I mean, the security, who's monitoring this? I mean, just so many questions up in the air that certainly these are questions that aren't going to be answered tonight, tomorrow. I mean, we could be looking at weeks with legal challenges here. So
we're about to go to Matt Dixon, Politico's Florida bureau chief. I just want to confirm this. You are saying that Ron Johnson in Wisconsin has been declared the winner. That is a pretty stunning comeback, Brian. When you think about until about a month ago, Russ Feingold had an enormous lead. This is the rematch. We've seen rematches in our state before, right? We're seeing one with Nolan and Mills. The comeback that Johnson made, does that tell us something about Trump's chances in Wisconsin also?
Yeah, it certainly does. And I mean, this is another one where Ron Johnson was behind in the polls in virtually every poll, right? I don't think he was ever ahead. And so he had late momentum, worked the ground game. You know, the Republicans have a good operation in Wisconsin, right? I mean, yeah. Scott Walker ran for governor 3 times in 4 years, right? And won all 3 times.
Right.
They control the state house. They control the state senate. So Republicans in Wisconsin do have, they have their data together and they have a ground game. And so I guess you're seeing that for Ron Johnson. And I think, again, Western Wisconsin is the most Republican part of that state. So those counties that are essentially Twin City suburbs, the
right.
counties that listen to your radio station, right?
Good
and
people.
Again, that's why all good Adam. People that they're listening here, that's why Donald Trump was in Minneapolis, St. Paul on right. the Sunday before the election. That's why Mike Pence was in Duluth.
Yes.
Both of those markets carry over into Wisconsin. And so to a large extent, I think that was a Wisconsin play. And Ron Johnson winning could be a signal that Wisconsin could be in play for Trump's campaign later tonight.
Okay, let's talk Florida. Let's go to somebody who knows the state very well from Politico, the Florida bureau chief, Matt Dixon. Matt, thanks for your time on a very busy night. Bottom line, why did Donald Trump win this state?
He turned out his folks in areas of the state he really needed to. Early on, the early voting returns here in Florida and also the early returns, they did not look good for him. But then as Election Day ballots came in and Republicans voted in large numbers on Election Day, some of the more rural pockets and some of the more conservative areas of North Florida really turned out big for him. Hillary Clinton did good where she was supposed to, but Donald Trump did better where Republicans win in the state of Florida.
So we heard so much about early voting and the Hispanic surge compared to 2012. Did it turn out that some of those folks who voted for Donald Trump?
We don't know exactly yet. We can't tell, but the number that kept getting thrown around was 15% of Florida's early voting electorate was Hispanic. And most people sort of assumed that surge in a more diverse electorate was good for Clinton and the Democrats. Now, through hindsight, we haven't had a chance to really dive into the numbers specifically who they voted for, but it appears, you know, maybe that status quo analysis wasn't as on point as it turned out to be. So we need to take a day or two and really take a look at what happened. But the early vote was good for Clinton on paper, or so we thought. And it didn't end up being the case. So, you know, we need to figure out if it was early voting or Election Day voting. But either way, Donald Trump was very impressive in Florida.
Last thing, sir, with about a minute to go. What part of this victory for Trump is surprising observers, journalists, and pundits the most at this point?
Hillary Clinton did amazingly well in South Florida, where she was supposed to. South Florida is very Democratic leaning and a lot of Hispanic voters, and she had the margin she was supposed to. Donald Trump, she didn't underperform there, and Donald Trump still won. It's a fairly impressive performance in the rest of the state.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Very good information.
All right. Thank you.
Florida Bureau Chief Matt Dixon. A reminder where we are at here at 10:18. If you're just joining us, it is a night where Donald Trump is keeping his viability to win the 58th presidential election to become the 45th president in this country's history. There are still many states out there. There are still of the battleground states that we are spending time on. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Is Minnesota a battleground state? We can debate that when we come back. Nevada is another huge one. We should point out again that Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama did make appearances in Arizona trying to make that a viable state for former Secretary of State Clinton. We'll bring that up because are there other battleground states out there? We will get more to the Minnesota races at the congressional level and also at the Senate races and the House races. But all night long, we will go periodically to CBS updates. They have outstanding reporters and correspondents who can give us information, including right now.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2016.
No winner yet. Presidential race very close in many states. CBS News does project more outcomes in more states now. Hawaii, California, Oregon for Clinton, Utah, North Carolina, Idaho for Trump, and Florida will likely go to Donald Trump. Let's check in on the mood where the candidates are holding court tonight. First, here's CBS's Barry Bagnato at Trump Election Night headquarters in New York.
It has been a night of stunningly good news here, hour by hour, but excited supporters know the outcome remains up in the air. They're ready to ride it out as Trump and his family watch the remaining returns a couple of blocks from here at Trump Tower. Signs wave, cheers rise up as news channel updates move his electoral vote total closer to 270. CBS's Steve Futterman is live at Clinton headquarters across town.
And Barry, a much different mood here. Faces that were smiling a few hours ago, full of optimism, now suddenly turning glum. Clinton supporters realizing that their candidate faces an uphill battle. The battle isn't necessarily over, but right now it isn't looking very good. Back to you, Jim.
Win or lose, Donald Trump's showing tonight is surprising many, like CBS News anchor Scott Pelley.
Since the nomination of the two candidates, Donald Trump has never led in the CBS News poll. Never been ahead, and yet tonight he's keeping up quite well.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor.
Minnesota's election station, News Radio 830 WCCO. Live from the Carrier Heating Studio, this is Election Night in Minnesota on News Radio 830 WCCO and WCCO.com.
Chad Hartman and a cast of thousands here on election night. Boys, first on Pennsylvania, the point you make is this is one of the, I think, the three states we're looking at really strongly right now that in this blue Clinton wall that the Trump folks said we need to swing one of these states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. What do you see in the latest with Pennsylvania?
So with 83% of the precincts in, there's 20 electoral votes at stake. Clinton is leading by about 90,000 votes throughout the state. And Bucks County, which is a lot of Democratic votes,
right,
only 23% of the vote is in Bucks County. So
she looks strong.
That's there. A huge population center. That's Philly. That's where they ended the race.
Yep.
And like we've said before, if she doesn't win Pennsylvania, the path gets very, very narrow for her. So as we talked about those places in Florida where Trump was overperforming, she seems to have a healthy margin in Pennsylvania. Let's remember, Virginia was in play early in the results.
Yes.
And then the D.C. suburbs came in and it was all over. So,
which is parallel to other Senate races they've had recently when Mark Warner won.
Exactly.
So let me start with you. When people think of the possibility of this upset, and again, I still think she has more options to win than he does, but he's made it much more competitive than a lot of people thought. People are going to think of 98. They're going to think of Ventura, Coleman, Humphrey. Are you seeing any parallels with either polls being wrong or who is showing up to say there is a similarity to what happened here in 98 to what's happening nationally?
Absolutely. This is about populism that excites non-traditional voters. And usually those folks live in rural areas or less populated areas, and usually they're white and they're male. Or they're white and female and non-college voters or working class voters. And so those people showed up for Ventura. You look at Anoka County, you look in greater Minnesota, they showed up there. That's where the turnout is up in nationally and where Trump is really starting to, you know, kind of outperform, I think, the models. People didn't think people would turn out there.
Yep.
And that plays into this idea that of what he's been talking about for months is we're going to make America great again. The world has been against you. The institutions have been against you. And those people are very anti-institution.
Catherine, can I make the comparison at the federal level of Hillary Clinton to at the state level of Hubert Humphrey, Skip Humphrey, at that time. He was viewed as very qualified. It was his turn. He was expected to win, but the closer we came to that race, he was falling further and further behind. And he didn't lose to just Jesse. He lost to Norm Coleman also.
I mean, you would think that voters had learned their lesson after that. It feels a little bit different than that. The dynamics of that race, you have to keep in mind, were three candidates, as you just said. It wasn't one-on-one. And that's not what we're seeing tonight. No one, you know, this isn't happening because a third candidate has disrupted that we weren't probably paying enough attention to, didn't give enough credit to, and definitely underestimated. That's what Jesse did. He took advantage of that and came in and turned people out. This is a little bit more, I mean, I hate to say it because of the results, but it feels a little bit more like the Brexit vote, which was, the polling was off. It was people either weren't honest about how they planned to vote or they changed their mind at the last minute. It was a really unpollable race, which this feels a little bit more like that, with people who are very angry, very anti-establishment, there was a lot of anti-immigrant sentiment in that election as well, which I think we're seeing play out somewhat tonight, obviously, because Donald Trump is largely anti-immigrant, and we're hearing from voters who agree with him on that. So it feels a little bit different than the dynamics of that three-way race in Minnesota when Jesse Ventura became governor, but there are some similarities.
Brian, so which is it? Is it more of the mainstream Republicans, yourself included, who looked at this and said, what is going on with our party with this guy stepping forward? And it's that the party's changing, or is it a little bit the Ventura parallel?
Well, I think that ultimately Trump made this candidacy about himself and his personality. It's not really a party-based thing, right? And he didn't use the party apparatus. He didn't really work with parties in that traditional way. Yeah. But that's one of the big questions, I think, that's being raised by what we're seeing tonight, and that is, does the ground game matter? Because there is no question that the Democrats and Hillary Clinton have a better national ground game than Donald Trump and the Republicans.
It's not close
Democrats said we made, 8 million phone calls on one day. We had 7 million door knocks on one day.
Yeah.
Right? We know that they had that ground game. But what Trump has done is inspire people to vote who might not otherwise have voted. And that is the parallel to Jesse Ventura. People who might have sat on the sidelines were inspired. So does that become enough to overcome a lack of a ground game? And I think that's going to be one of the big questions coming out of this evening.
And does it overcome mainstream Republicans who couldn't vote for him, probably didn't vote for Hillary, but couldn't vote for him? I mean, the news came out today that George W. Bush, the last Republican president, that he and his wife Laura left the ballot empty. They didn't vote for Donald Trump. They didn't vote for Hillary. They didn't even vote for a third-party candidate. Let's do this. We're going to go to a CBS update at 31. Adam, I think when we come back, we should talk again about the local races and what we are seeing with the local races at the state level and at the congressional level. Again, as you pointed out at the top of the hour, Eric Paulson winning, not much of a surprise, right? I mean, the polling that has come out the last 6 weeks, the limited polling, that Terry Bonoff attempting to tie Eric Paulson and Donald Trump, that just wasn't working.
Wasn't working. So we shift the focus now to the second and the eighth, obviously.
Yep.
A second where John Klein did not seek re-election. We've got Jason Lewis and Angie Craig there. The results coming in also the eighth, which usually is the last one to come in, the last results to come in with Rick Nolan in a rematch of last time with Stuart Mills.
Yeah, we had a meeting, Adam, when you left the room, too, that we plan on leaving at 1. And you are gonna stay here until the results come in on the 8th.
I plan on doing that. That's why I brought a sleeping bag and vodka. So I'm.
Yeah, and I thought there was another stimulant that you're going to use to keep you awake.
Well, it's legal in California.
It is.
To your pleasure.
Yeah. In case you were wondering, in case you were scheduling your flights, marijuana recreational will now be
Snoop
legal.
Dogg loves it.
Exactly. Let's go to CBS.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2016.
In the battleground state, CBS News now projecting Donald Trump is the winner in Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. Hillary Clinton projected to win in Virginia and in Colorado. CBS's Nancy Cordes says Trump's strong showing has surprised many pundits.
The fact that North Carolina and Ohio now appear to have ended up in the Trump camp is a bitter disappointment for the Clinton campaign. They literally spent tens of millions more dollars in those states than Donald Trump did.
Trump now has a realistic path to victory. CBS's Major Garrett talked to former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort.
Ryan Priebus, the Republican National Committee chairman and a Wisconsin Republican of long standing, has told Manafort that he expects Donald Trump will carry the state of Wisconsin. Okay. And Iowa Governor Terry Branstad has told Manafort he expects Trump will carry Iowa as well, and they're very encouraged about what they're seeing in Michigan.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jim Shenevy.
All right, we are back here. Hey, Chris, why don't you hit that little projection jingle that we have, because we have a big one right now. Fox News is projecting that Donald Trump will win Wisconsin. That Donald Trump will win the state of Wisconsin. So the idea, they are showing elation at Trump headquarters in New York City. Let's reiterate again. Donald Trump needed to win almost every battleground state, and those states included Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. He has won those. But along with winning the battleground states, he needed to swing a state that was leaning blue to Hillary Clinton. That includes Pennsylvania. And I thought Blois did a very good analysis about 15 minutes ago showing that that is leaning strongly to Hillary Clinton. Michigan, the Detroit Free Press over 2 hours ago called Michigan for Hillary. The other outlets are saying it's too close to call. Minnesota, we believe, will go to Hillary Clinton. But Blois, you saw this a few moments ago, and Fox is now calling it that Donald Trump is going to win Wisconsin. Give me some details.
So I started my political career in 1992 in Wisconsin, so I know the state pretty well. Dane County, Madison, Milwaukee were slow to come in, but as they came in, Trump's lead actually increased as other parts of the state came in, like Eau Claire. So he now has, with about 68% of the precincts in, he has an 80,000-vote lead. Wow. And the strong Democratic areas are in for him. Ron Johnson's been declared the winner there, and he was behind. I think, you know, there's a certain amount of irony that we just need to call out of the battle between he and Paul Ryan. And then if Trump, Trump wins Wisconsin.
And it's not like Scott Walker wrapped his arms around him either.
Not at all. This is one of the states that Trump had to get in his path and flip. Iowa's also been called, but he's been ahead there for quite a while. Yeah. And nobody's called Minnesota yet. I think Minnesota ultimately would go to Clinton, but I think if this election goes to Donald Trump, we will turn to Wisconsin historically and say, what happened there?
Brian, let's just be crystal clear at this point. We had this conversation 45 minutes ago. Which candidate would you rather be? There's no doubt right now. There is no doubt right now, with Donald Trump winning all the battleground states, that he needed to win and swinging at least one state his way, Wisconsin, that was viewed in Hillary Clinton's column almost the entire time, that he has the more likely path right now to win this race.
I think that's right, and I think we're going to be looking at some of these smaller states as potentially the tipping points, like New Hampshire.
Yeah, I was just going to bring this up.
And so that's a small one. In Maine, they actually separate out their electoral votes by they have two congressional districts, and Maine 2 is the very rural part of Maine.
Yeah.
And so he might win. He might not win the whole state, but he could win one vote there. And he has won Iowa. We haven't talked about that a lot, but Barack Obama won Iowa,
yes,
both of the last two elections.
Right.
So that is a big pickup for Republicans. So I think the big question mark going into this election for a lot of people was, what states can Donald Trump win
that
Mitt
right
Romney
here.
Lost?
Look at the footage they are showing at Clinton headquarters.
Yeah.
At the Javits Center. Individuals shocked. Individuals in tears. They realize the significance of this call of Wisconsin and how important this is and how indicative it is of what is taking place tonight.
Well, and between Wisconsin and Iowa, both states that Barack Obama won twice, you know, states that I think in the last 10 presidential elections have gone for Democrats probably 8 out of the last 10 times. And so that is a big swing to pick up those Midwestern states. And so it makes you wonder if Michigan is going to go the same route. I mean, Michigan demographically,
if it does,
is not all that different from Wisconsin. And if it does, I mean, that's almost game over.
Oh, Catherine, I think it is game over.
If he wins Michigan and Wisconsin, then she is going to need to flip in a large state her way. And what is that, Arizona? That would be about your only likelihood at this point to give her a path. I mean, this because Brian's talking about Iowa and Wisconsin. Let's not forget Florida. That was very close, but that was another state where Barack Obama, you know, ended up coming through. So what's going on here? Let me do this. Let me go to Jesse OPN. Jesse's with us. He is a politics reporter and state government reporter for the Capital Times. I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that, Jesse. I apologize. We're just having such a busy night here. I appreciate the time. All right, we are talking about the extraordinary significance of this race that you are covering and the fact that outlets are now calling the state of Wisconsin for Donald Trump. Are you also, from your data, calling the state for Donald?
We aren't quite there yet, but it definitely looks like that's what's going to happen. It looks still pretty close. He's up about, I think, 3 points last I looked. But, you know, in our Senate race here, Russ Feingold just conceded moments ago to Ron Johnson. And
yep.
As goes that, it would appear the presidential race is about to go as well.
It would be fairly counterintuitive if Ron Johnson came back from a significant deficit months ago and wins in this fashion if Donald Trump then lost the state, correct?
It would be. You know, Ron Johnson was the underdog, but he had tightened it up. It was a one-point race in the final days. Obviously, the Trump and Clinton campaigns had different feelings about things. It appeared that Donald Trump had all but given up on winning the state in the last few days. But
yeah.
Yes, I mean, it would definitely be a shock and a surprise if we ended up with a Ron Johnson win and a Hillary Clinton win.
Yeah.
It seemed to lean toward Trump.
Yeah, that doesn't seem plausible. You know, from covering politics in Wisconsin and studying politics in Wisconsin, if Donald Trump wins, how much of a shocker is it? Or is it not that much of a shocker considering Scott Walker has won the governor's race with the recall 3 times in the last 4 years.
I mean, this is sort of the test of everything that he's claimed on the campaign trail throughout the last 2 years. The state hasn't gone for a Republican presidential candidate since 1984 with Ronald Reagan. It's been traditionally blue, but in the last 2 years, we've started to look at it as more of a swing state, as more of a purple state, and that is solely because of those 3 Scott Walker victories. We have a majority, Republican majority in both chambers of the state house, and this was sort of the test of where the state was going, and it would appear that they were right.
Well, last thing, and I'll let you go. There was a lot of talk, obviously, in our state when Donald Trump made the appearance here on Sunday, and the belief that he passed on going to Wisconsin and came here. But a good political reporter comes on my show, made the point. Now, let's remember, when he appears here, that coverage still goes into a lot of western Wisconsin. So even though he did not come to the state and came here, that was still a well-covered story, much like when Mike Pence went to Duluth on Monday, right?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, his Wisconsin visit was scheduled for the southeastern part of the state. That's where he'd been struggling the whole time. It was going to be during the Packers game, which is just not the time to do that.
No.
Wisconsin makes a lot of sense to go somewhere in Minnesota where you're going to get that carryover in places like Hudson, Wisconsin, where traditionally more solidly Republican and definitely friendlier to Trump this year.
Jesse, good stuff. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Let's pause right here. Take a 2-minute break, come back and react more to the belief that Donald Trump, according to multiple outlets, is projected to win the state of Wisconsin and its significance on a night when Donald Trump has all the momentum. He has won every battleground state he needs, and he swung at least one state that was leaning all throughout the polls to Hillary Clinton. He wins the state of Wisconsin.
Election Night in Minnesota. Sponsored by Hamlin University on News Radio 830 WCCO.
This potentially is a remarkable, stunning night of a presidential election that we said would be historic either way. The 58th presidential election, looking for the 45th president of the United States. And again, the biggest storyline in the last 15 minutes is multiple projections that Donald Trump will win the state of Wisconsin. Ryan McClung, he is winning every battleground state. He wins this. And we just were talking about the analysis as you see it right now. Even if she wins, Hillary Clinton wins Michigan, if Donald Trump wins Arizona, are we looking at President-elect Donald J. Trump? And I want to hear you say those words. President-elect Donald J. Trump, a member of your party.
Well, let's wait until actually happens. Yep. But, you know, it's not my analysis. It's the analysis of Ed Henry from CNN
but it's
on Twitter. And I haven't done the math, and I'm bad at math anyway, so you wouldn't want me to try.
But, I mean, Blois, you're looking
but it looks
at
like
I mean,
this Arizona is probably the deciding one.
Absolutely. He's at 259 electoral votes, according to my map.
On the projections, right?
On the projections.
Yeah.
But that with Wisconsin.
Yep.
Okay. That gives her Pennsylvania, Michigan, New Hampshire. She would have to win New Hampshire, win Nevada, and win Arizona.
So, again, if she wins New Hampshire and she wins Nevada, she does not get to 270 without winning Arizona.
Correct.
There are no other battleground states out there.
There are no more.
There, I mean,
according to my map, the only three states that haven't been projected are Arizona, Nevada, and New Hampshire. I've looked at the numbers in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and feel very confident that she's ahead enough there. But I really do think it comes down to Arizona. And if he's at 259 right now, that's 11 electoral votes. I'm still decent at math, Brian, and that gets me to 270.
Yeah. And I mean, literal votes, electoral votes is at, not even with projections right now, most outlets, I'm looking at CBS, they have him at 244 right now. So they have him at 244. You just look at where we're at, and they have her at 197. 197. It seems positively implausible at this point, Blois, when you look at any other states that would stun us. These aren't battleground states. These aren't states that have been back and forth or within the margin of 3-4 points. These are states that Republicans either win all the time or Democrats win all the time. So let's stay with Arizona for a second. John McCain has won. He is heading back to the Senate. John McCain and Donald Trump have been at odds multiple times during this campaign, including at the end after the infamous tape with Billy Bush and Donald Trump, John McCain said, that's it.
Yep.
But the projections are that John McCain, in a very red state, is going to win by double figures. I am going to be stunned if John McCain wins by double figures, even with the split and the differences that McCain and Trump have had, that Hillary Clinton could overcome that and win that state for the first time a Democrat has won that state in decades.
Yeah, McCain won McCain is leading there 53-41. Trump is up. I haven't looked to see what parts of the population centers are out. We do know that Sheriff Joe Arpaio, a big early endorser of Trump,
yes,
very controversial in,
yep,
the immigration debate,
correct,
for several years, he did lose today. So that tells us that the Latino vote was big,
yeah,
in some of those key Democratic areas. So it could get closer, but I think Arizona was one of those states that wasn't on anybody's radar. It was possible, but I don't think anybody thought Clinton would win it. And with McCain up by that much in his Senate seat, I see about 53% of the vote is reporting in Arizona at this point. So there's still probably a lot of votes out there, probably about 1.5 to 2 million votes still not counted in Arizona.
Catherine, do you think Hillary Clinton has any chance to win Arizona?
I think there's a path. I think there's, we've seen other Senate candidates outperforming, Republican Senate candidates who've won tonight outperforming Trump significantly, and so not impossible for Senator McCain to win and Hillary to win the state as well, especially if the if Hispanic voters turned out and voted for Hillary the way that, again, I mean, that's what we assumed in Florida.
Yep.
Different, it's a little different story. It's literally a state that would have a wall. So I imagine that the feeling there is different than Florida. And so there's a path for Hillary to win the state.
Well, I'm just stunned at the fact that it's 10:48 p.m. and we're in Minnesota, and Minnesota has not been called for the Democrat candidate. Nor, 4 years ago,
right.
Boyce and I were here, and the polls closed at 8 o'clock, and at 8:05,
yes.
The race is called for right. Barack Obama. So, I mean, this is a state that, you know, has gone for the Democrat in every race since 1972. So even the fact that it's close is a troubling sign, and it's showing in the legislative races as well.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, Brian. It is showing in legislative races. I mean, you have... Republicans are leading in several legislative races. I think we do see the split in Greater Minnesota versus the metro area. Eric Paulson won much bigger than people thought. In Terry Bonoff's vacant Senate seat, the Republican Paul Anderson won. That was a race that Democrats thought they could hold pretty easily. They had a good candidate in Deb Calvert. So that tells me that the gap for Clinton wasn't as big in those places, and Minnesota split tickets.
Let me jump in right here because we are going to go to another CBS update. They obviously are working in concert with television and radio on various projections. Again, not everybody, but multiple outlets have projected Donald Trump to win Wisconsin.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2016.
The polls are closed in every state but Alaska now, and we do not know right now who the next president will be. Many battleground states still too close to call. Latest states in the Trump win column, CBS News projects Georgia, Iowa, Florida, Wisconsin edging toward him. Anticipatory celebrating at Trump headquarters in New York City.
We're getting ready to dance on top of the table when he hits 270.
Yeah, right now the CBS News electoral count, Trump leading Clinton 244 to 197. CBS's Major Garrett with Trump supporters watching those Trump numbers rise.
On this upper Midwest aspect of the Trump campaign, they are seeing exactly what they hope to see, and they believe they are now, for the first time, seeing a solid path to victory, paved in part by the industrial Midwest.
CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes across town at Clinton headquarters.
Are they confident? Yes. They feel that Virginia and Colorado were always so strong for them that they actually stopped airing ads in those two states for about 4 months. Michigan was a little wobbly towards the end. They're feeling pretty good about their path, but it's certainly not the cakewalk that they hoped it would be.
A tumultuous campaign comes to an end. And on BuzzFeed, President Obama has a message for us all.
Remember, no matter what happens, the sun will rise in the morning, and America will still be the greatest nation on earth.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor. Okay, let's get to some numbers here, because this is one some people had projected who are kind of political nerds, right, who said, here's one of our dreams to get somehow to 269 to 269. Brian, you're looking at this. Give me the scenario where we end up with neither candidate at 270, they tie, and how likely is this?
Well, hey, if they could do it on the TV show Veep, I mean, we can do it in real
absolutely.
Life, right? I mean,
what a great show.
This is, I know, love that show.
This is funny.
I wish I could vote for Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but,
yes.
You know, so...
Well, you kind of are.
Right, more or less. So here's the thing. You can get to 269 if Trump wins Wisconsin and Iowa.
And let's stop right there.
And stop there.
Some outlets have already projected him to win those two states.
Right?
Okay?
Then if Clinton wins Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, and Nevada.
Okay, and let's stop there too. Boyce has got the numbers showing him in great position. The numbers look favorable in Michigan. The Detroit Free Press called it 2.5 hours ago. Do we know what the numbers look like in New Hampshire at this point?
She has a slight lead.
Slight lead.
I don't know the counties in New Hampshire well enough to know where the votes need to come in from.
Okay.
But she's had a slight lead, and the population centers hadn't come in yet, and traditionally that those would go to her. I think I found where we have the electoral votes that will keep this very interesting. Nebraska. Yes. Nebraska splits their electoral votes like Maine.
That's right.
Oh,
they have five electoral votes, and they split them 2-1-1-1.
But, I mean, most people would think Nebraska, that's Trump country. Is that not it?
One of those congressional districts leans Democrat.
Yes, exactly.
There's an Omaha-based congressional district. So they have an urban. They do have an urban area in Nebraska. And so if that one went, that, you know, because they split it up by congressional districts, then he could win that one there. And again, in Maine, they split theirs up the same way. So you get two for the overall statewide and then one for each congressional district.
Okay.
So it makes it a little, so if you look at the electoral maps right now, that's the states that have stripes going across them.
Okay. So how does that tie into our 269-269 scenario?
Well, she would have to be pulling in that Omaha.
Basically, he would trade. So he would pick up one in Maine, and she would pick up one in Nebraska.
Okay.
Right?
And which is plausible. Right?
But he wins the state of Nebraska. She wins the state of Maine.
Which, that's 100% happening.
Right.
It's whether they split the one and one.
The votes. One and one. So that's what actually gets you to the 269-269.
Because she right now has a lead, a reasonable lead in Nevada at this point. Because the data I am seeing that she is ahead.
So she's got to win Michigan and Nevada to get us to approach this 269-269 theory.
Okay. Explain to folks what happens if we end up at 269-269, Professor Olson.
It goes to the U.S. House of Representatives, where the Republicans will have the majority.
Yep.
And I believe every member gets one vote.
No, I'd like to amend that, Professor.
Thanks.
This is the true nerd time of all nerd time.
Can I hit nerd alert at this point?
You're the true professor.
Thank you. I'll weigh in with my Humphrey School adjunct professorness for a moment. But what happens is each state gets one vote.
Oh, that's right.
In the House. And so the House delegations have to caucus and then vote as a state. And someone has to get 26 states. So there will be states that have an even number of congressional
members.
Can
I just stop for a second? Kyle is suggesting you know that because of Veep. Is that correct? Do you know that mainly because of Veep?
Veep and
and
House of Cards. Veep and House of Cards. So, yes, it's everything I know about electoral. And John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams became president from this. I mean, this was when John Quincy Adams and Henry Clay worked out a deal, John Quincy Adams finished third in that election. Andrew Jackson finished first.
So,
and he became president in that election because of a deal that he made with one of the other candidates.
So, as an example,
Secretary of State.
We got to get out here 57-40. So, example, here in Minnesota, how would we arrive at our one vote?
So we have eight members in the House delegation, right? It depends on who wins tonight because, you have the Stuart Mills-Rick Nolan race is looking very close.
Jason Lewis is leading Angie Craig.
If it was 4-4,
what happened if we get ties?
They wouldn't cast a vote. Yeah. It would be an abstention, and that's allowed, but somebody has to get to 26 states
to be president. And if nobody gets to 26?
Then it goes to the U.S. Senate. The U.S. Senate elects a vice president, and the vice president becomes acting president because there is no president.
And they can elect?
That person would be the president of the United States.
Okay, and who can they pick from?
They would pick from the candidates for vice president.
Okay, then they would decide between Tim Kaine
and Mike Pence.
In the U.S. Senate, which right now is on track to maybe being tied.
Okay, so what happens if that's tied?
Well, I don't know.
At what point does Barack Obama just continue?
The winner of the All-Star game.
Bud Selig calls it a tie.
Oh, my God. What a cage match.
Let's hope.
We want this scenario, don't we? To quote the great Kevin Harlan, buckle up, everybody. We are in for a long night. Stick around here on WCCO.
You're listening to Election Night in Minnesota on WCCO and on FM at 102.9 KMNB HD2, Minneapolis, St. Paul.